you, Pastor Mark. Good afternoon, church. You can take your seat. How good has Blessed Summit been so far? Amen? Who's ready to run towards it? Yes? Amazing. What a great message. Having the just times of praise and worship, the messages, the fellowship time. Hasn't it been awesome? Yeah. Yes. Thank you to everyone who has helped serve. Thank you to everyone who has given up their Friday. I hope you didn't lie to your boss, but that's okay. We kicked the goats out yesterday, so it's all right. God forgives you. Yes. Amen. Oh, praise God. You know what? You might be thinking, well, we've had six sessions, we've had five, we're about to have our six, what else could be preached on for Bless? Well, can I tell you, it's an endless, endless topic. Bless. Oh, it's going to be so much fun. We've burned things. That was pretty cool. We literally set things on fire. Yes. And then we heard Pastor Shane strangle a goat from stage. That was wild. That was wild. But let me give you the best definition ever of bless. Ooh, I heard someone. B-L-E-S-S. It's five letters. J-E-S-U-S. That is the world's best definition of bless. I'm going to show you how. How convenient is it that both have five numbers, hey? Yes, I did the math for us. You know what? I was thinking about Pastor Mark's launch for our summit on Thursday night. 2.5 million people in slavery in Pakistan. So I also did some more math for you. Did you know that NAB's annual profit, just one of the big four, their annual profit, just one year's profit of $5 billion, would literally redeem every single one of those 2.5 million souls at a cost of $2,000 each. Isn't that crazy? So Lord, would you bless us with $5 billion in Jesus' name? Amen. I'm just saying, you have not because you asked not. So I asked. You can join in if you want. You know, the greatest blessing is not a thing, not an object that can be obtained, not a theory that can be realized, not even a gift that can be bought. It's a person. Yeah. His name is Jesus. Come on, can there ever be too much blessing? I don't think so. The more I know Jesus, the more I want of him. Amen? This is the title of my sermon for us today. Bless equals Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today I pray that you would inspire us from stories from your word, Lord, that something would be activated within us, something would move us as it moved you. And Lord, that we would go, that we would run towards it. Lord, that we would let go of all the stuff that's been holding us back and that we would take hold, Lord, of what you have for us and do it and bless it and send it out to the world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. All right, blessed to be a blessing. This is the heartbeat of the entire biblical story. I want to put this to you. Let's think back to even for our summit. Let's do a quick recap, Pastor Mark. It's like Pastor Mark always says, when God saved you, he also had someone else in mind. And so God never blesses us just for us, does he? No, he blesses us so that his blessing can flow through us. Not just flow through us, but overflow from us. Genesis 12:2, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Everything from God should multiply beyond us. Not just stay, not become stagnant. It's a biblical principle. In the beginning, we were told to be fruitful and to multiply, to fill the earth and to have dominion over it. And so we see life comes and is breathed into man, and man was commanded to be fruitful and to multiply. And then we see the second Adam come, and we see life and life abundant has come. And what did Jesus tell us to do in the Great Commission? The exact same command, to be fruitful and to multiply, but not to fill this earth, but to fill our eternal life, to be fruitful and to multiply. Go and preach, baptize, teach, leading them out of darkness into marvelous light, that we would be fruitful and multiply and fill the kingdom of heaven. Let me get a little bit nerdy for a second. I have done some research. I've gone to all of the amazing dictionaries you can find, and I've combined them all together and pulled most of it from Logos and also Blue Letter Bible. And I want to define bless for us today. You know, sometimes bless can be a signature line on the bottom of an email to the Christian friend. God bless, Joe. Or maybe even diminished down to a statement for a sneeze. Oh, bless you. But let me give you the biblical definitions for bless. Have a look at this. Let's throw that first one up. New Testament, under our new covenant. Bless comes from eulogio, with EU, meaning good, and logos, obviously, word, literally means to speak a good word or praise, to bless, speak well, impart favor. That's what bless means. It's why praise is so powerful to be done at the start of a service. Why? Hallowed be your name. When we praise, we're blessing God, and we're actually setting ourselves up for a blessing because we're making God bigger, big enough to take care of the problems that we're probably going to start presenting to him during our time of worship. Amen? Not just wishing well, but actively imparting something life-giving. Bless. In the Greek, it is agathos, benefit and benefactor, or goodness. Doubling down on this biblical principle, good, goodly, godliness, and goodness describes that which, being good in its character or constitution, is beneficial in its effect. So for something to bless, it has to be good within its character, within the very makeup of its constitution, but it has to be beneficial in its effect. Not just what it is, but what it does. Not just to, but through. God is essentially, absolutely, and consummately good. It's who he is, and it is what he does. Remember the time the rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus responded, why do you call me good? There's only one who is good. Isn't that interesting? Agathos is the substance. Eulogio is the action. Christians are to prove it. A living sacrifice, really loving people, turning away from doing evil and to do good. Galatians chapter 6 verse 10, I think, encapsulates this entire thing beautifully. Have a look at this one. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. Now, let's have a look at the Old Testament. Let's see where we came from. The most common word for bless in Hebrew is barak, which means to kneel. I love this. This just gets deeper and deeper. From a position of humility, we see this with the woman who comes before Jesus with the alabaster jar. And what does she do? She kneels She blesses Jesus and pours out a great, generous blessing. We see this through all of the gospel stories, all the people coming and they fall to their knees, the one who wanted to be cleansed of leprosy. We see Jairus, the synagogue leader, he comes and he bows before Jesus, like, please, would you save my daughter? We see the demoniac men, full possessed by demons, yet running at all the other human beings, but seeing the answer come to the shore, they run to him. What do? They bow down, fall onto their knees, and they bless Jesus. They worship Jesus, and that's when they finally found their freedom. It's amazing. Peter bows down after a miraculous catch of fish. From the whole sweep of scripture, pulling all this together, to bless can be defined as this. Let's have a look at this next slide. To release the life, favor, and goodness of God into someone's life through words, actions, or presence so that they flourish in His purposes. Even Jesus Himself, just before coming to bless humanity, bows down on His knees in the Garden of Gethsemane, in humility, crying out to the Father, setting up the moment of the greatest blessing of all time. Our salvation, His life, bless equals Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Check this out, Luke chapter 3, verse 8. Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Prove it. That's what John was saying. Don't just say to each other, we're safe, for we are descendants of Abraham. That means nothing. For I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. Being of Abraham wasn't going to save the Israelites, just as being called a Christian isn't going to save us. James goes as far as saying, even the demons believe in the name of Jesus and they tremble at His name. We are to prove ourselves and our salvation by what we do. Jesus put to us that one thing that we would want to hear. The Master, full of praise, full of blessing, and this is the ultimate blessing, next slide. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's celebrate together. There's quite a few conditions in that, isn't there? Good, faithful, servant. We could unpack just those three words in a whole entire series. But I want us to now jump into the need for the blessing. You know, the people around us that we live near are so hurt, so suffering. I presented yesterday in the elective workshop around the evangelism need in the world, even in Australia, that the hard stats now are 1 in 4 people are lonely, and it's getting closer to 1 in 3. And I was reminded of a stat, 80% of people that become Christian, there was a study done a long time ago, they become Christian because they're lonely. So even just to notice someone and to invite them into relationship with you, you could see someone saved. I was at Morayfield Shopping Centre last week, and I was driving in, and I had to get up into, actually it was this week, it was Wednesday. Oh my gosh, it's been a big weekend. And I had to buy some grape juice and some crackers for a communion that I was doing at a wedding. And so I'm like on the Lord's work. I'm like, I'm in my car, I'm focused, and I'm driving in, and you know, I'm scanning, you know, waiting for the favor park, super close. I always just go straight to the door because there's always a park for me really close to the door. And so I'm cruising through, and then I'm looking around last second, and I see this lady and her kids coming out, and I could see that she was stopping to let me go by, but last second I see a park right here. Boom, flick on the indicator. Yeah, baby, thank you, Jesus, for my favor park. As I put that indicator on, she goes like this. Like the 2.3 seconds of my life that I just had to wait, because I thought you were going to drive on through. And I reversed into my park and said, hi, sorry. Just in case Pastor Jonah gets known. But it made me think, what was she going through? That 2.3 seconds of her life being inconvenienced was such a big deal. The crisis of living expenses that they have on our nation at the moment, and all the media being imposed on us, all of the fear and anxiety that the global news is pressing upon us, all of the issues of sin and darkness and hopelessness, all of the struggles of health issues and all of the things that kids go through and all of the addictions that people have to struggle with. And then on top of all of that, imagine living a life like that without Jesus. I mean, come on somebody, it's hard enough with Jesus, isn't it? But imagine living through hell on earth without Jesus. Church, you and I, we have great, great need in the world around us. The pushed down, the broken, the frustrated, the led astray, they look like sheep without a shepherd. So let's talk about Jesus, because Jesus is the answer. Yeah. Come on, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus takes a moment to teach us about loving our enemies. In Matthew chapter 5, he said, if you love only those who love you in return, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt people do that. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? But you are to be perfect. There's a challenge. Even as your Father is perfect. So what is perfection? Well, I think Jesus taught us to love our neighbor, no matter who they are, whether you want to or not. None of this negates that we will be questioned by Jesus, what did you do with what I gave you? And the greatest that he gave us was him. Bless. Bless is not a reward, it's an opportunity. It's a requirement. It's a command. Here's one for the future. It's a measuring stick that we will be judged by. Bless. And this is who our Jesus was and is. Come on, he loved, he gave, he healed, he restored. Come on, he brought hope, taught a better way. Come on, he raised the dead to life. He made the way to eternal life. He blessed. It's who he is, it's what he did, it's what he does, it's what he's going to do. It was the story of the Good Samaritan that Jesus shared to double down on this teaching, on the greatest of commandments, to illustrate it. He shared that story. Equally important to him, to loving God, a second, equally important to love others. The Good Samaritan personally carried the cost. You know the story. He didn't expect his burden to be shared or passed off onto someone else to meet. It wasn't below him to help. It wasn't an inconvenience to him. He just did what was right, and in doing so, he did what was good. He blessed. He makes this statement as he's leaving. He goes, if it's gonna cost you more, when I come back, tell me and I will pick up the balance. Come on, that's not just helping out enough. That's not just going, oh, I'll pray for you. No, I'll come around and mow your lawn too. And then I'll come back the next day with a cooked meal and dessert and supper. Come on, that's picking up the balance. That's blessing. Yeah. What was the initial question that the lawyer stood up to test Jesus with? What must I do to have eternal life? And it was that story that Jesus used to illustrate it. So if you want eternal life, we bless. Let me focus on the cross, the greatest of blessings. Let's read this together. It'll be on the screen for you. John chapter 19, it says that then Pilate turned Jesus over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus away, carrying the cross by himself. He went to the place called the place of the skull, in Hebrew, Golgotha. There they nailed him to the cross. Two others were crucified with him, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate posted a sign on the cross that read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." The place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek so that many people could read it. Then the leading priests objected and said to Pilate, "Change it from 'the King of the Jews' to 'He said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate replied, "No. What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they divided his clothes among the four of them, and they also took his robe. But it was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said, "Rather than tearing it apart, let's throw dice for it." This fulfilled the scripture that says, "They divided my garments among themselves and threw dice for my clothing." So that is what they did. Standing near the cross where Jesus' mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene, it's a lot of Marys. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, it's John, by the way, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." He said to this disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, the disciple took her into his home. First of all, the one thing that makes all of this worth it, the most compelling reason to have faith in Jesus, the point of difference to every other faith, temptation, is the resurrection of Jesus. Come on, he rose from the dead. You know, it's crazy that they gave away their savior. I think about it and it's wild. And they did it by using the power of their enemy, the people that had invaded them, a ruler that had set up their own God belief system, a group of people that were anti-Christ, were used to pass judgment on their savior. They mocked him, they beat him, they whipped him beyond description. The ones who were meant to be leading the people of God and exampling to them his ways, in the trial, not before Pilate, but before that, in the Jewish council, they blindfolded him and were striking him and then mocking him and saying, "Come on, prophesy. Who hit you that time?" They spat on him. He was betrayed with the intimacy of a kiss. Deserted by his closest of friends in the time where it would have been good to have some. Denied by the one who was renamed the Rock. They stripped him, stretched out his limbs, drove nails through his hands and feet, and raised him up to humiliate him for all to see. And all of this to make a way for you and for me, and for anyone who would respond to that act of love. For the whole world, he gave his life, an everlasting life, a life of blessing that will never end. In the middle of his crucifixion, he turns to the one who was hanging next to him, not the one that was mocking him, but the other one who simply wanted to be remembered by Jesus. And Jesus said, "No. That's not enough for me. Today, you will be with me in paradise." I've always loved that story because I love that Jesus didn't unpin himself and then unpin the guy next to him, quickly run down to the Jordan River, dunk him, right, you good, let's go, run back up, pin him back to the cross, pin himself back to the cross, and then go, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." No, he just told him. I love it. How do we bless when we feel like we're the ones that need the blessing? Have you ever heard the concept of leading while you're bleeding? Maybe for you, it's unanswered prayers. Health struggles, your body breaking down. Children away from God. Work not what you thought it would be. Your finance failing, your marriage under pressure. How do we be a blessing when we are bleeding? You don't have to wait to bless. When you bleed, what comes out of you? We are carriers, not containers. The more holes, the better, in my opinion. Just let it out. Come on, every story has a purpose, every action, a reaction. God works all things together for the good of those who love him, called according to his purpose. Come on, just remind yourself, come on, you know how the story ends. What's worst case scenario? Yeah, die. Heaven. It's pretty good. Jesus bled. And while bleeding, he cries out, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. While going through all of that and having gone through all of what he'd just gone through, he takes a moment in the middle of all of that while bleeding his life out for humanity. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know, maybe you didn't kick out enough goats last night. Yesterday morning, sorry. Come on, forgive. He was sent to the world not to judge it, but to save the world through him. Yeah. And I love that he takes the time after forgiving them for crucifying him to then look after his mum. Every human birthed by a woman. And it was no different for the Son of Man. Mary birthed him, raised him, treasured him. You know when someone that you love is sick and you're just like, oh man, God, can you just give it to me? Because we'd prefer it to be on us than on them. How much more for a parent, for a mum, to be at the foot of the cross, looking up at her son. And I love that Jesus takes the time in the middle of a world-altering, eternal life moment to take care of his mum. And he looks at her, as John puts it, the woman elect, the highly favored and chosen one. Mum, my best of best friends, John, is now your son. John, my mum is now your mum. Beyond that, he still does more. In addition to forgiveness and to taking care of his mum, this is wild. He still takes time to do one more thing to fulfill scriptures, and he proclaims, I'm thirsty. So they give him something to drink. And then knowing that he had completed it all, he blessed. In humility, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. That's bless. Bless is Jesus. My last thought from the cross, the moment of the cross, is that we are family. And we are blood family. Now, you might say, oh yeah, my blood family. Well, when you become a Christian, when you become a child of God, you don't just have your earthly blood family. You enter into another blood family. By the blood of Jesus, you and I, children of God are brothers and sisters. I think that's why it says that we're meant to bless everyone and do good to everyone. It's like Pastor Shane's definition of all, brilliant. You could substitute it with everyone. There's no way around it. I don't even need to give you a linear slide. It's just everyone. Especially those in the family of faith. Blood doesn't discriminate. Doesn't matter what we look like on the outside. It doesn't matter what we've done or what we do. Blood is blood. You think about the people that you struggle with. Do you know their story? Do you know where they were born? Do you know what they've endured? Do you know what they've gone through? Do you even know what happened last night when they show up to work and they're angry and they start, you know, gossiping about you and trying to push you down? Why? Well, hurting people say hurtful things. So just take it and bless. Don't react. Respond. That's what Jesus did. Even when I think he really wanted to react, he didn't. He responded. Why? Because Jesus doesn't just love the accused, he loves the accusers. We bless. Jesus' love for Jews and for Gentiles. This is ours to continue, no matter what they're doing. They could be doing to you what they did to Jesus. No matter what they currently believe, no matter what faith they hold to, no matter what country they were born in. Come on, we bless. Jesus has commanded us, example to us, that despite anything that's going on in someone's life, you and I are called to be a blessing. Bless equals Jesus. Amen? Can I have the band come, please? My last passage for us this morning, church, is from James chapter 3, verse 9 to 12. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. What we say and what we do, come on, our purity, our holiness, peace, our gentleness, love, and our care for everyone, our kindness. This is bless. What did God say to Abram? Blessed to be a blessing that will never end. So don't stop the flow, church. It was spoken and declared by God himself. And we see that from before the foundation of the world, bless was put into motion because the lamb was slain. And then we see the fullness of the manifestation of bless on the cross, where Jesus bowed and gave up his spirit. And I love in all the way through to Revelation that we see bless in motion. Bless. We can be a fountain of blessing or we can be a fountain of something else. When Jesus was bleeding, what came out? Bless. Just oozed blessing. What comes out of you? Let there be an overflow. You know, when you're walking with God, when you're close to the heart of Jesus, you'll hear things differently. Because someone will mock you and you'll just start to cry for them. Like someone will punch you and you'll just turn the other cheek. Because we bless. We're meant to overflow with blessing, more than enough. It's who we are. It's who He is. Our words, our deeds, our taste and see, our salt and light, bless. Bless. For you, has it become that tagline in your voicemail? God bless, Joe. Maybe a sign off on your emails to your Christian friends, as I said, maybe even a statement over someone who simply sneezes. Bless. It's not just a side concept of our faith. It's not just something that we should do. And we see the thread of blessing through the whole Bible. It's a central theme to God's entire story. And when we see this, bless stops being a nice word we use and starts feeling like our calling. For creation, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and govern it. Genesis 1:28. To Abraham, blessed to be a blessing. I will bless you and you will be a blessing, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Genesis 12:2-3. Israel, a blessed nation for the nations, called to be a light for the nations. But we see that blessing stagnating and when it stops flowing outward. Israel often forgot the second half of the blessing. They received it, but they didn't release it. Isaiah 49:6, praise God that the Gentiles too have now been grafted in. Amen? The answer, Jesus. We come through to the Gospels, the ultimate fulfillment of God's blessing. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to bring good news, to set the captives free. Luke 4:18-19. Galatians 3:14, through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing He promised to Abraham. To the church, to you and I, the baton now passed to us, Matthew 10:8, freely you have received, freely give. Do not repay evil with evil, but with blessing, because to this you were called. 1 Peter 3:9. See, the early church understood that the blessing wasn't theirs to store, it was theirs to spread. And like their Jesus, who is also ours, at no matter the cost, the personal cost, they spread bless. They died, they were scattered, and I just think it made the blessing spread all the quicker. Bless. Come on, would you stand to your feet today? Come on, we're not just blessed to bless now, we're blessed to prepare the world for the fullness of blessing to come. Let me have a go at summarizing this. You guys can throw that last statement up on the screen, please, for me. I wanted to summarize the entire summit's content so far, but also this message for you with one statement. To bless is to partner with God in releasing His goodness into someone's life with our words, our hands, and our hearts. Would you close your eyes, church, and just get ready to worship the face of Jesus? John, Danielle, could you come out? And I just want us to just worship Jesus just for a couple of minutes before I close. on, church, sing this out. Come on, we worship Him. Come on, He's paid the price for you because He loves you. Come on, you and I have eternal life because of Jesus. Jesus. Oh, we worship You, Lord. Jesus, I love You. Every eye closed across this place. This morning, if you need to get right with God, if there's someone in this room that doesn't know Jesus personally, He knows you and He wants you to have a personal relationship with Him. And He has done everything to make this possible. No matter what your life has looked like up until this point, no matter even what you're going through right now, can I tell you, being Christian doesn't make it easy. It certainly makes it easier. But with Jesus, you don't get just life. Now you get eternal life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way to heaven except through relationship with Jesus. So come on, if you're a Christian in this place, would you close your eyes right now and start to go to war for every other person in this place? Come on, would you lift your voices and just start to pray in this moment? Because the enemy fights hard against a salvation altar call. My friend, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand to choose Him. To say, yes, I want Jesus. I want to give Him my life. I even just want to give Him a go if that's all that you've got in yourself for the moment. Come on, the man on the cross. He just wanted to be remembered. Zacchaeus, he just wanted to see a glimpse of Jesus. But neither was enough for Jesus. Jesus wants you and every part of you and everything about you. Your past, your present, and your future, Jesus wants you. So if that's you and you're in this place, with every other hand down, eyes closed, come on, if you want to give your life to Jesus right now, would you be bold, would you be brave and say, yep, I choose Jesus. Would you raise your hand right now, wherever you are? Is there anyone here and you want to give your life to Jesus? Come on, would you raise your hand?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Someone down the front here, that's awesome. Come on, anyone else? Come on, don't look around. Just stay focused. It's between you and Jesus. Thank you. I see your hand over there on the side. Come on, let's praise God for this. Come on, that's two people. I'm going to look across the room one more time. Is there anyone else? Young man down the front and another man over to the side. Is there anyone else? Well, come on, church. Would you repeat this prayer after me as we celebrate and partner with some new family members? Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for choosing me. Thank you for loving me. Today I choose you. And I choose you today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Take my life and make it the best that could ever be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, we celebrate that.